The time went quickly. We're back together, Matzah Shabbos, is to be able to be together. I always feel this, I feel a special chavivus for the Matzah Shabbos shiur, and we're able to have Matzah Shabbos. I especially love to have a shmuz together, Matzah Shabbos, because there's so many things happening on Matzah Shabbos that are not outside HaKadosh. They're not the best thing. And the Mesivus Nefesh, whenever anything is with Mesivus Nefesh, that to come together and to learn Torah together, to be mechazik each other, especially to Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the Iris of Chanukah and now coming into our lives. So the whole Indian of Chanukah is Mesivus Nefesh, and to be ma'ira good things, and that the good things are able to overcome the bad things. Rabbi Biad Ma'atim, Tmei Biad Tahirim, Rishon Biad Tzadikim. So the schus that we're together learning, and mechazik each other, should talk be that every minute that we spend learning should conquer a lot of things that are not good, that we should be zorcheh b'ez Hashem to see the Or HaGondes and Arichas Neil leben Yishayim Shichayim. For those who have been coming regularly or on and off since Pesach, that time when we began learning Shabbos afternoon, so there's a hemshich. For those who haven't, it's a big empty space. It's not recorded anywhere. But Be'ez Hashem, we're able to learn, even the Chavarim who haven't been able to come, or coming from further away, who are not able to come Shabbos day, Be'ez Hashem will be able to pick up on what we're learning. Most of you know that for the past year and a half or so, whatever, I don't remember the exact amount of time, we've been learning the Inyan, we're learning the Inyan of Menuchas HaNefesh. And after working on that Inyan a lot, by Riches, those were on tape already, a lot of those shiur, not the last three or four at the end, but mostly they're on tapes. So we started to learn this Maimer in the Alei Shur, from the great Mashgiach Rav Holbi, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The purpose of learning the Maimer, which is called Das Atzmeinu, we've been working on this already for quite a few weeks, before the Sabbath, after Pesach. The purpose of working on this Maimer, Das Atzmeinu, is that really without learning, understanding who we are, what is a Yid, we can't really achieve this goal of Menuchas HaNefesh. We can't really. For little bits here and there we can, and mechazik ourselves, but be'emes, to come to a madrig of Menuchas HaNefesh without Das HaNefesh, without knowing what the Nefesh is, what our koichas are, what our struggles really, really are, and not what they appear to be. We can't win. So, there are two levels. Learning this Maimer of Das Atzmeinu and the one that follows it is a magnificent introduction into the Nefesh, into the soul. It certainly is not an effort to go into the Pnimius of the Inyan, which we'll go into also Be'ez Hashem. My goal is to spend time learning the Pnimius, in other words, all the Koiches HaNefesh, and the Avodas Hashem al derech HaBal Shem Tov, and all the spheres and the different parts of the Nefesh, al derech without any Kabbalah, just al derech HaAvoda for ourselves. And Be'ez Hashem, after that, to be able to speak about the Nefesh of Klal Yisrael and how as a people we could achieve Menuchas HaNefesh. By that time, Mashiach will already be here, Mitzvah Hashem, and I'll be out of a job. We started a few weeks ago, the fifth parak, 2 weeks ago, the fifth parak in Elisha. I hope all of you have that in front of you. It's very difficult if you don't. We're around a little bit more than halfway down the page, the paragraph beginning with the word Hadimyon. And we're talking about Dimyon, imagination. Imagination, which the Mashgiach explains, is not itself counted as one of the Koiches HaNefesh, but it is Ma'orer, it awakens all of the Koiches HaNefesh. It affects all of the Koiches HaNefesh, the Koich HaDimyon. We've been talking about that a lot the last few weeks. Again, we didn't talk yet in the Pnimius of it. We'll spend more time on Koich HaDimyon. We have to do a Maimer together from Rabbi Yeruchim. We'll do Alder Chabad, a little bit with Rabbi Nachman, to understand the Koich HaDimyon, imagination. But I want first to read really, I thought I'd be finished these two pages right away, but it takes longer. But to first learn this on a very simple level, the Alei Shur. So HaDimyon, let's look inside. We were learning that the arch rivals that are fighting over our existence is, on the one hand, the koyach hadimyon, imagination, fantasy, which we'll talk much more about, which draws, paints, photographs, all kinds of images in our brains of things that excite us and things that frighten us, things that motivate us, things that bring us up and bring us down, schlep us from one end of the world to the other. Very clear pictures and photographs that we have in our minds from the time that we're in this world, from the time that we're children, that we imagine. We imagine that this is something that's gewaldic, and it creates a tiger within us to get that. We imagine that something is frightening, something is terrible, and we do everything we can to avoid that. Even though imagination, as we'll talk about Mitzvah Shem further ahead, imagination itself is a very precious gift from Hashem. And a Navi couldn't be a Navi without the Koach HaMadama. It's one of the highest things that we have, is the ability to imagine. But imagination is at odds with the seichel, the intellect, the mind. And this struggle between the seichel and the dimyon will determine what kind of people we are, what kind of yidden we are, what kind of parents, children, friends, brothers, sisters. Everything is determined by the outcome of this struggle between the koach haseichel, the intellect, the mind, which is focused on what really is, which is focused on the truth. On the truth. And the dimyon, imagination and fantasy, which is lost in a world that's not true, in something that doesn't exist. And what's particularly scary, and this is what we ended with last week, is that the dimyon, imagination, knows how to hook up with seichel. Dimyon, imagination, will draw from the seichel, from the intellect, and will dress up and clothe and present dimyonis with all types of sichlis. The dimyonis themselves appear to be intelligent choices and become part of what we feel are rational, intellectually based choices that we make in life. When, if you scratch beneath the surface of the seichel that was used in the hands of the samach mem of the other side, the seichel that was used by the dimyon, that was taken advantage of by the dimyon, by imagination, to create a skyscraper of silliness, of narishkeit, that doesn't exist, but is brilliant. It's brilliant, and it's very, very deceptive, but it doesn't exist. So the dimyon will use the seichel to serve its ends. Imagination will use intellect to serve its needs. And when that happens, it's particularly dangerous. Let's continue. We have a lot to talk about. Let's continue. Hadimyon er ba'adam yaldusay. A little bit past halfway down. Hadimyon er ba'adam yaldusay. Imagination is awake inside of us, very, very strong and awake, from the time that we're children. It's that part of us that we're most familiar with for the longest amount of time. Imagination. Children imagine long before they reason. Imagination is very strong. Tinoik v'yeled hinam yitzurei dimyon. Infants, children, little kids, children, amamish yitzurei dimyon. Their whole existence is one of imagination. Everything that they think about and everything that they do is all connected to imagination. And it's a healthy, vital part of growing up, the imagination. But that's what a child is. Palmim rabbis, tekulim demyonis yaldutim, yaldusim ba'odam, v'niyochel ishtachra mehem, gam behayayisim avuga. It's particularly sad, and worse, it's really pathetic, when as adults, we can't free ourselves of some of the silliness, the delusions, the imagination that we had as children. So we no longer, we were talking about this a little bit last week, so we no longer imagine that the little boats that mommy and daddy got us, the little boats that we have in the bathtub. I remember the first time I had one that you could wind up and it actually moved. That was unbelievable. Because until that time I always had to move it. But then there's this little wind up thing. They always tipped over. But you wind it up and it becomes a little bit in the water. So we've all outgrown those. We've all outgrown those. So we certainly are not anymore with the toys of children. But as far as the dimyonis that we haven't outgrown, the dimyonis of little things or bigger and much more expensive things that give us pleasure, that are not rooted in the reality of who we are and what we need to do in this world, it's very sad and it's very pathetic that there are certain childish things that are enrooted deeply within us, then we can't free ourselves of them. Even after you grow up, you can't get this out of the system. So you don't have the toy anymore. It's not a little toy. So now you're fascinated by big boats and big cars and big airplanes, or you're fascinated by big corporations or by big money and big. But it's the same dimyonis of a child, just much more dangerous and much more expensive. He says one of the chaykrim, a person who studied the soul, once said that if all of our dimyonis, if all of our fantasies would be disgusting and low, then we would feel that at least this is something that's worth fighting with. All of us know that there are impulses and things that we imagine that are not nice, that are disgusting. And we understand that there are things that are obvious to us that we have to fight against these thoughts, against these things. These fantasies are disgusting and dangerous, we understand. So this person said, if all imagination was producing images of that were ugly and disgusting, at least we would feel the responsibility in achrayus to fight against them. So the person knows there are certain things that are things that should not be thought about, things that should not be seen, that one shouldn't listen to, and he knows that have no place in his life. But the problem is that ruba, as you get older, the dimyonis are not necessarily those dimyonis, and those you recognize as the enemy, that you know, those are things that you have to fight against. But there are so many There are so many that are not roim and mushchasim, dimyonis of covet, dimyonis of wealth, of reputation, of fame, of what people think about us and so on. These are not roim and mushchasim. These are not disgusting and low things. So therefore we don't fight against them. They take over our lives. But we don't fight against them because we don't see them as being necessarily dangerous, as being enemies. Those things that are in the imagination that produce images that are not nice, we know that we have to fight against them. We understand that they're inappropriate. And we struggle with them. But most of the images, especially as we grow up, are not necessarily of those type. Not necessarily. And we outgrow many of those images as we get older. You could find an older person that Bechlal doesn't think of those in Yanim that he did when he was younger. But the covet, the meaning of covet, of recognition, and if he feels that his covet, he imagines that if the Olam acknowledges him in a certain way, then he'll be happy. That's Rachmanis, and he doesn't fight against it. And it makes his life miserable. In other words, if the person in the shtibel didn't say, Shkoyach Abyankel, ooh, that was a gewaltige davening. So he's upset, he's hurt, he's angry. And he eats away his kishkes. And he doesn't think there's anything wrong with thinking that. He doesn't see that there's something that's evil or disgusting or that's filthy or something of that nature. So most of the divinitis, we don't even fight against. We don't even look at them as our enemies. They just are allowed in. He said, come on in. They come into our lives. And they overtake our lives. And they're not from the world of reality, of Metzias, the Dimyonis. Avol Eroiv, Hinam Yaldusim, Ad Kedei Kach, She'od Mizbayish Behem, U'menasel Et Chayisam, L'Salkim Yitoy HaKarosai. There are many, many things that we imagine and that we have inside of us that we're embarrassed about. They're so silly, they're so childish, we don't even talk to other people about them. And they're not becoming, they don't befit an older person at all. So many of the things we hold on to are stam childish dimyonis that we haven't freed ourselves from, we haven't let go of. And then there are other dimyonis that come along as we get older, new dimyonis. Most people spend all of their lives thinking about these things, dimyonis, shehem, hemem, amalim, as kol rachashe libam, that fill their entire existence. Each and every one of us, myself and all of us here in this Beis Medrash, each and every one of us is filled mamish with dimyonis. Mamish with dimyonis. This one has a dimyon that if I don't finish my project that I have to for work on Tuesday, that I'm not going to have a parnasa. This one has a dimyon that I'm never going to have, that if I don't do that, I'm not going to have this. And it's a dimyon that if I don't please this person at this place, then he's going to have the angriness of you. There are million dimyonis that suffocate us and take away our meluchas and nefesh and our simchas and chayim, kinds of dimyonis that are not rooted in reality, that have nothing to do with mitzvahs. Eiler etzino lilmaid, rak koyches and nefesh ha-shaynim. If we were just to learn the koyches and nefesh, the different koyches and nefesh, lahaya koyach ha-dimyon toifes makom koyrachav b'tireinu, we wouldn't spend so much time talking about imagination. In the first chapter of the Shemana Prakim, the Rambam talks about the different koiches, Hazan, Hamargish, Hamedame. Medame is one of the different koiches that the Rambam talks about at the beginning of Shemana Prakim. Ham is Oyer, I'm not going to go through these right now. Vasichli, Varambam, Metarasham is Adimyan, Shufantazia. The Rambam defines Dimyan as fantasy. Ulam. Mibchinas yediyas atzmeinu. As far as knowing ourselves, which is the purpose of this maimer, mibchinas yediyas atzmeinu, toifes hadimyon mokum choshev. Dimyon takes a very important place if you want to understand ourselves. We live more in the world of imagination and fantasy. More than we live in any other world, in any other spiritual, non-physical world, we live in the world of Dimyon. On the highest level, which we'll talk much more about when we talk a little bit about Derech Chabad Mitzvah after this, on a higher level, we spoke about this a lot in the Chabura. We were learning about Kriya Shema. Right after the summer, we were learning about Kriya Shema, the two levels of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. And you recall, those some of the Bnei Chabur here, you remember that Shema Yisrael is Yichud Ilah. The highest level of unity is Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The highest thought that a Jew is capable of is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And what does that mean? What is that highest thought of Yichud Ilah? Is the thought that is real, that is true, that is emes l'amita. And that truth is Ein Oid Milvada. There's nothing, there's only God. There's nothing. Not this shul, not me, not you as separate beings, not the walls, not the windows, not the sky, not the moon, nothing garnished. Ein Oid Milvada. Ani Kaidim, I'm before I created the world, I'm after I created, Ani Hashem Lo Yishi Nisi. And Hashem Echad means it's only God. Everything is a lokus. We spoke about this. And a Yid, Tzaddik and the Tzaddik will live in that Machshava a lot. Regular Jews, for a minute, if we close our eyes, we cover our hands, we cover our eyes by Shema, we can come for a second to that place of what Shema Yisrael Hashem Okein Hashem Echad. There's nothing else, there's only the Borei Olam. And we're just part of the Borei Olam, Kivyochel, we're in the Borei Olam. Yichud Ilah, the highest Yichud. The Ratzon Hashem is that we descend from that clear understanding, we descend from that truth, and therefore we can't sustain that truth in our minds for more than a moment. And then we take our hands off of our eyes and we see, oh, there's Yanko, there's Beru, here's my shtender, and I gotta get to work in 15 minutes. Right? And then we move into that second level, which is Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso La'olam Va'ed, Hashem's Malchus. That's called Yichud HaTata, the lower unification of Hashem's name. Yichud HaTata means, it's the Ik Einyin of Chanukah, Yichud HaTata means that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to take away from us that we shouldn't be able to see things so clearly. We shouldn't see the truth that it's only Him. That we should experience our lives, ourselves, we should feel that we're separate and that we're different. And that there is existence, and in this feeling I have that I exist and that there's a world. And not only is there's a world that's filled with images and dimyonos of sheker, of falsehood, of things that are not true, that in this world I should overcome this delusion, this fantasy that appears before my eyes as reality, and I should be able to be miyachid shem Hashem and live a life of Torah mitzvahs and not be seduced and destroyed by the dimyonos of this world. And that's the avoid of Yichud HaTatah. We lift ourselves up to the higher Yichud to give us the koiches to descend into the lower Yichud. Yaakov Avinu's, now it's Parshas Vayetze. The Sula Musav Arts of Roisha Migi Shemai Malach Elokim Oilim Vyardim Bo Yaakov Avinu, up and down, Yiloh Tata, Yiloh Tata, the whole Indian, all the Tikkunim of Chanukah. The Indian of Chanukah, the Indian of Chanukah is Lamati Masar Tvachim, that the Chanukah Manor is Lachadchil Lut, as you know, in that place far, far down in this world. That a Yid should be able in the Choshech and the Rosh Hasharabim to scream out Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Mefarsim Shem Hashem in this world. So Inyan of Chanukah. That's our avodah. Therefore we learned from the Balatani, we spoke about this many times in the Chassidus Shiur that we've been learning over the years, Mamorim from the Alter Rebbe, that even though from the perspective of the lower unity of Yichud HaTatah, from that perspective, the world exists, Yesh Me'ayim. Yesh means, this is a physical world, it's Yesh, it's here. We're here, this is here, Yesh. And Yesh comes from that mysterious hidden place that's called Ayim. nothingness. That's only from the perspective of Yichud HaTorah, but as the Alter Rebbe says many times, the emes is that what we're living in right now, we'll talk about this much more next week, what we're living in right now is really, really ayin meyesh. This is non-existence, what we're in right now. This is a brief experience that you and I are having with non-existence. 70, 80, 90 years, sooner and so on. But this short, a relatively short time that we have in this world that is non-existent. But the emes is, that the real truth is not the way it looks to us. It's ayin. It's not what we see. And therefore, we think this is yesh me'ayin. The emes is, this is ayin me'yesh. True yesh, true existence is what we don't see with our eyes. The false imaginary existence is what we see with our eyes. All that exists in this world is a marshal. That's the way that the Bali Musa speak about it. The Talmud of Hashem, the Mukabal, speak about the higher and lower Yichud. Ayin, yesh, yesh, ayin. The Bali Musa used the term marshal and nimshal. So everything in the world is a marshal. The vast majority of people in this world never ever got past the marshal. You know what means a marshal and an imshal? A marshal is you say once upon a time there was a king and the king had a son and the son didn't know his behavior, so the king had to throw him out and the son missed him and the father missed him. It means everything in the world is a marshal, and then a person says, what's the nimshal? What's the marshal teaching us? Every single thing in this world is a marshal. Children, little children, are not interested in the nimshal. The worst thing you can do for a little kid is to read Three Little Bears and say, and read it quickly and say, but now I want to spend the next few months explaining to you, what does it mean, they're three little bears? You think these are bears? This is not a bear. What, you think the person who wrote this is a shaita? He's interested in what bears talk and this? No, it's not bears. What does it mean? This, each bear, this chesed, this gvurah, this feres. Three bears. I mean, it's not three bears, little pigs. I get mixed, I don't remember. But anyway, you know. But all of these things, there's a friend of mine that gave shiurim for like a few months on Star Wars. There's a famous movie, Star Wars. I don't know if you ever heard of it. So this movie, so he gave, and I remember that the children, they saw, someplace they saw Lion King from, also it's a famous thing, Lion King, the whole Lion King is all a mushel, and there's a Rebbe, and there's this, and there's that, and there's a Chassidim, and there's a whole big mushel, and there's an imshel. It's a way of teaching children. But you know that if you take a little child, and you run quickly through the mushel, and you say, but now I want to talk about the nimshel, the kid says, the nimshel? I'm not interested in the nimshel. Give me the, I want more mushel. I want more of the marshal. So we laugh, we say to the children, that's silly, but do you think I have time to sit here and talk to you about bears, about pigs, and Sleeping Beauty, and about Lion King? I want to teach you a lesson. Marshal, I want to teach you the nimshal. So then the children look at us, when we get older, and the son says to the father, you have some time to learn, maybe on Shabbos? And the father says, I'm too tired, I'm overworked, I'm this and that. And, you know, I have a big project coming up on Monday, I gotta get some rest. And the kid says, hey daddy, what about the nimshal? What about the nimshal? So the father lives in a marshal. What's the marshal? He also lives in a marshal. He lives in a marshal. It's a scary marshal, because you gotta go there on the train, and you gotta wear a suit, and you gotta talk to people and act, but it's all a marshal. It's all a marshal. And the kid says to his father, what about the nimshal? Daddy, what about the nimshal? You remember the little bears, the pigs, remember? He always said to me, there's a nimshal. There's something deeper. Star Wars, Lion King, what does it really mean? So daddy, what does your job really mean? What does your marriage really mean? What does your life really mean? Some marshal. For what? A Baal Seichel lives day and night trying to understand, what's the nimshal of my life? When you meet a person, when you get to know somebody, everything in life is a marshal for something that's lamala, lamala, lamala from the world of ayin, may ayin yove ez. So a person that's a grown up wants to know, what's the nimshal of my life? What's the nimshal? What does it mean? What's the Baruch Shalom telling me? Everything that we see, is only a mashal. So you go to Manhattan, and you're in a place that millions and millions of things going on, million things going on. For what does it mean? It's a mashal for what? In each thing, in each person, in the experience. The problem is onu chayim ba'olam adimyon yosim esh bekol olam esruchni. We take those mishalim and we don't go further to try to understand the nimshal. We get stuck in the mashal. That's how the Bali Musa talk about it. We get stuck in the mashal. But the Chassidim, the Talmidei Baal Shem, we get lost in the place of Yichud HaTorah, and we forget that this is also only that this is a world of Ayin, and that the real Yesh is the Nimshal. The real Yesh is what you don't see with your eyes. It's when your eyes are covered. That's when you're really beginning to see. Like in the story of the blind beggar, Rabbi Nachum saw the blind beggar who says, "You think I can't see? I see so much that I can't see this world." That's the blind beggar. "You think I'm blind? You think I'm blind? I see so much that I can't see this world at all." That's the meaning of the story, though. When a person sees so much, like Yitzhak Avinu, who's the blind beggar, that the kena aim of it is. Yitzhak Avinu, who was by the Akedah, Yitzhak Avinu, who left this world somehow and stayed in the world at the same time, Yitzhak Avinu, who was in that place of Ayin and Yesh at the same time. So he's able to laugh at this world. He's able to laugh. That's what his name means. Tzchayk Osli Elokim. Kol Shamei Yitzachakli. Kol Shamei Yitzachakli. So we laugh at the little children that's playing with the boats, and then the children laugh at us when we're playing with the big, with the stocks, whatever. Then the children laugh at us. And Yitzchak Avinu laughs at all of us. Kol Shamei Yitzachakli. Tzchayk Osli Elokim. Oz Yimalei Tzchayk Pinu L'Shenei Merin. Oz Yimalei Tzchayk. When Mashiach comes, the Baruch Shalom is going to say, "Kindle, come here. I want to show you the Nimshal." And we go, "Oh, that's what it meant. That's the I didn't know. That's what it meant. That's the Nimshal." And we're going to talk much more about this when we learn the piece of Yuchan. Mach Zenoyer, the Mashgiach continues. It's a frightening thing. Imagine this. Mach Zenoyer. Besad Odom Habolik Raseinu, Emedes Dmus Odom, Shikimat HaNigut HaGom LaOdom Zeh. It's a frightening picture. Let's try to think about this. There's somebody coming towards you. And next to that person, Bitsat Adam Habolikras, you know, I made this Dmus Adam Shikimat Hanigadagam Adam Zeh. There's a person coming towards you, and there's a person that's walking right next to him that looks to be the altar image. The opposite of that person. The opposite. Walking right next to the person. But there are certain similarities, just to understand the motion. In other words, there's a person that you recognize that you know very well. And you think you know. But you recognize a friend of yours coming. And he comes in with somebody else, who has a certain resemblance, but it's not him. So you think maybe it's a brother or cousin. He walks in, and he doesn't even acknowledge that he came in with anybody. And he walks down, he sits next, they both sit next to you, and you're going, you walk around, and he doesn't introduce you. So who is this person? So Mashgiach says, Hadmus hazois, himasha odem ze medam elios. It wouldn't be just one person, you come in with a whole minion. The other person is the one who you imagine you are. It's your imagination. It's the fantasy of who you think you are. Masha Adam Zem Adam Elias. Betmuna Hadim Yonish on a Yotzim Hatzmeinu. In other words, it's a scary thing. The same way that a little boy could be 7 years old, some little skinny boy, is 7 years old, and next to him walks in a 240 guy with shoulder pads and a helmet. And that little boy, especially if he's a little bit bigger and a little bit more light than the guy on the bus, the kid on the bus in school, who he pushes around, right? So he already sees himself as being some guy, some big linebacker, some big football player. So a little kid walks in, and he introduces you, and you see next to him there's this big linebacker. It looks like the kid a little bit, the face. You say, "Who's this?" So he says, "That's me." "And who is it?" "That's you? What do you mean? You're 7 years old and you weigh 55 pounds. This guy looks like he's 27 years old and he weighs 280 pounds or something." For the child, that's not a stira. It's not a contradiction. Bamis, I really am that linebacker. You just don't understand. You don't see me accurately. Bamis, I'm that linebacker. And I can prove it to you. You come with me on the bus, and when a kid who's skinnier than me starts up, I'm going to whack him over the head. Just like the linebacker whacked the guy on television a half hour ago. Over the head. And then I took him off to the hospital and everybody patted him on his back. He's a hero. That's what I'm going to do to the guy on the bus that starts up with me. Because I'm a linebacker. So we start to get nervous and we say, "Listen, Yanki, you're just a 7-year-old kid. You go to yeshiva. You know, you can't hit people. It's not nice." She says, "Well, it's not nice. I was sitting with my father and he was screaming also when the linebacker sent that guy to the hospital. And that's who I really am. That's who I really am." So the kid keeps on saying that, then we have to have him evaluated, right? He keeps on talking that way. But we can go like that till 120, we're not getting evaluated. So the Mashgiach says that you walk into the room with a person next to you, that's the person you imagine that you are. So you see yourself walking in as a big tzaddik. It bothers you that the Olam doesn't stand up. You see yourself walking in as a big tzaddik. In the imaginary picture that we've created in our minds, there are no spiritual deficiencies, there are no blemishes, there are no problems, there are no faults. That's why you get so upset if somebody points out a fault. Who are you talking about? And you could say to the imaginary person next to you, "Did you hear what he said about you?" Of course, there's nobody there. "Did you hear what he said about you? He said you're not a tzaddik. He said you could be nasty sometimes. He said you have a big mouth. He said you're overly critical. Did you hear what he said about you?" And this altar image that's next to you, the one that you imagine yourself to be, is very hurt and insulted. Of course, he doesn't exist. It's the picture that you painted in your brain. Could be your mother contributed that by telling you you were perfect or something. And you have this, she meant in a good way, which you have this imagination, this picture of yourself. And oy vavoy, if anybody tampers with your friend who you walked into the room with, if anybody says something about your friend, you get very insulted. Because you think that's you. But that's not you. And if you understood that someone who cares for you is telling you, you know, you have a little bit of a problem with your temper, and if you knew that he's trying to save your life and help you, you would kiss him and thank him and ask him, "Could you point this out to me next time?" If it was just you, but the problem is not just you. You're coming in with a whole minion of other yous. And if any of them are insulted or hurt, it's bad. It's very, very bad. In these pictures that we've made of ourselves over the years, there's nothing wrong. They're beautiful pictures. And you have it even in physical things, even on a person, the physical thing. I'm not even talking about deep spiritual, even physically, a dimension that a person has of how he looks, you know, and what people must think when they're. There was such I once told you this story. This is one of the funniest things that I've had. I mean, it's Rachmanis, because somebody was very embarrassed, but she told it to us. This is one of the funniest things I ever heard. I mean, it's not funny when I say it, but when we heard it, one of the Chevet Mamash almost had, we were afraid he was going to have to be taken to the hospital. It was one of those things that he couldn't get out of his stomach, you know what I mean? We didn't know what to do. He was on the floor holding his stomach. Amaisa Shahaya Kacha, Yimatsa Shabbos, you tell Maisis. The Maisa was, that when we were, years ago, I was teaching for many years in a wonderful place, and There was a very wonderful, at that time she was an older single woman. And she was teaching the girls, there was a girls' sex department, so she was teaching the girls. Very, very wonderful chasid. And it was taking her a long time to, Baruch Hashem, now she's married, can I know? But it was taking a long time. So she used to go to these depressing singles events. You know, there are a lot of these events. Some of them are not so depressing. In those days, all of them were depressing. Now they're a little bit better. You know how it is. You have like 4,000 Gevaldige girls, and then there's the same 7 guys. Each one looks like he needs all types of help. It's just, you know. So this is what was going on. So there was a big, 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 super duper galactical event that was happening in Lincoln Square Synagogue. A big event. The levush of it was that somebody, there was a rabbi coming from Eretz Yisrael who was giving a shmooze. But really the idea was that after the shmooze, it's a good thing, after the shmooze that they would socialize a little bit and make some seduchim, right? That was the idea. So if you were single, she said at that time, if you were single in New York, even from outside New York, if you didn't come to this, you're never going to get married. You had to come to this event. So she said that she was all excited. It's from that fairy tale, going to the ball, you know, she got dressed up. Cinderella, so she got all Cinderella-dick, and she was going to this, and she was going to this big, big, big thing where any guy that's a potential guy that she could ever marry, of course the guy that she married would never go there, her shaykhs, but she thought that any guy that she would ever marry her was going to be in that, in Lincoln Square Synagogue. It had to be. So she said she gets there, she rushed, and she at that time she doesn't drive. So she had she took a taxi, and she said she gets into the taxi, and the taxi driver is looking at her. So she thinks to herself, let's just imagine that her name is Sarah. She thinks to herself, boy, Sarah, you must really look good tonight. Look at this guy, you know, he can't take his eyes off of you. So she goes like this to Lincoln Square Synagogue. She goes into the place. Not only are the guys looking at her, but even the girls can't help but notice how beautiful she is. And she's thinking, oh my, Sarah, this is really something. You know, and this is going to be, this is the answer to all my life's problems, because I'm for sure going to get my shidduch tonight, because I never look so great. Kids are there already, hundreds and hundreds of people there, and the shia started. And not only that, the Maggid Shia keeps on looking at her too. She says, well, the Maggid Shia keeps on looking over. She's thinking to herself, you know, this is something unbelievable. There's nobody here that can stop looking at me. Until finally, she says, her best friend comes over to her and says to her, sorry, are you out of your mind? You have your curlers in your hair. She ran out of the house. She never took her curlers out from her hair. I don't know if the girls still do that, but they used to wear curlers. And she had curlers in her hair. And she did whatever. She was a tumult. She had all the makeup on. And she's sitting there. And so this was a dimion she had, and she thinks that even this Erlicher Maggid Shia can't stop looking at her. He has such a problem taking his eyes off of her. She's such a beautiful person. No? Each and every one of us has somebody with curlers next to us. You understand? That's how we live. Imamish lived that way. It's a galecht, it's the funniest. I mean, it was a Rahman, and she said, she was horrified and she ran out. You know, it was a whole thing. But each and every one of us lives that way. Mamish that way. Except curlers are not a bit. That's a harmless thing. A curl is not so bad. And it's not given whether or not the people that are sitting in a room, they think of you like this or like that. But what I was talking about this morning, Ula Yimushani Avi Gevalt, how the Baruch Shalom looks at us and how we look at ourselves and the demyonis that we have of who we are and how he looks at us and how he sees us. And how other people look at us and see us. Demyonis. Mamish demyonis. Two different people. Who I am and who I think I am could be divided into two different people. Two different people. And like Karev Zalza, there's just a slight resemblance. Enough to get people to wonder what's going on. But like Karev Zalza, then it's two different people. Who I imagine myself to be and who I really am. Not two, more, but at least two. That's what the Mashgiach says over here. Mashodim zemedam elias betuna hademyonish on a yoitzim yatzmenu nedorim called the kuyin afshenu. There's that perfect, perfect, gorgeous person that walks in. That you, like she was saying, I walked into the room there, beautiful. And instead of a person honestly, with the koyach haseichel, evaluating himself and realizing and understanding, attack, I have this inyan that I have to fix. This is a problem. I have a problem. Ubam kaimam moifiyos milus. Instead, not only does he not see the likuyim, his faults, he doesn't see his faults or his problems and blemishes and imperfections. That's the opposite. Instead of the imperfections, he sees milus, good things, perfection. By the way, it works the other way too. Of course it works the other way. The other way would be that we have gewaldige milus that we don't see. That's a major part of the delusion as well. In other words, what comes out is the things that I think are best about myself are oftentimes worse, and the things that are worst about myself are often the best things about myself. Is there such a delusion? We don't know our milus, we don't know our chesronos. When I think of my milus, the chesronos, the chesronos, the milus, we don't know. Because they're all demyonos. It's not emes. Vamilus, that's what he says. Vamilus, the mitzoris bona betumun hademyonis hemegadlus pielus. The milus that we, and very often the milus that I have are magnified 1,000 times more, and they're made into a much bigger deal than they really are. I build up the milus, and I downplay the chesronos. So the milus look gigantic, the milus become huge, and the chesronos, which are really huge, the chesronos become tiny. And that's how the person next to me looks. V'yesh u'malo yiseinu ne'adoris afhein b'tmonezu. That's why I said a minute ago, it's very sad. Sometimes in the imagination and the delusion of a person, he doesn't see any mindless of his own. Just the opposite. The person, he's really beautiful. Much more beautiful than he knows. And the person that he sees next to him is always disgusting and ugly. Just the opposite. Sometimes you have a person that be'emes is beautiful. But for reasons, for many, many, many reasons, this beautiful person has so many milas and so bachent and so good. He sees himself in the most, he imagines himself to be horrible. That comes a lot from parents, a lot from parents or from teachers, from the past, that a person can have such a way of looking at himself. Not only, but a lot of it comes from the past. That anybody would come up and say, you know how beautiful you are? You know how wonderful? It's just the opposite of the other story. The most beautiful, beautiful person in the world. But because everybody around says, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, so Cinderella doesn't know how beautiful she is. Cinderella sees herself as being ugly. But if Tzaddik comes along, Prince Charming comes along, but Tzaddik, or that person in your life that really, really sees how beautiful you are, and the Tzaddik, or the person who sees how beautiful you are, says, you know what your mindless are, how beautiful you are, then it's amazing how Cinderella can be transformed. Cinderella can be Cinderella. But she herself is so battered and beaten by the nastiness of people that where she comes from and whatever, that she's surrounded by, like in the story of Cinderella, if I'm not mixing up with bears and pigs, but I think that's what it is, that she's so battered and beaten by how they see her, by how they look at her, that Cinderella is ice Cinderella. She sees herself as being the ugliest girl in the world. As the ugliest in the world. Tzachmanis. She doesn't see any of her mind. When someone loves her and appreciates her and says, you know, kind of how beautiful you are, that you're mindless of, then the Cinderella comes out. That's the whole inyan of ahava, of what love can do for a person, to bring out the mindless. But there are people that live in demyonis, negative demyonis, just like you have people who live in positive demyonis. There are people who are right now in this world who are thinking of ending their lives. And that the last person, people in the world that should do that, they have so much to live for. And there are a lot of people in the world who would never dream of ending their lives. And it would be a big taiva if they did. Mm-hmm. They'd do the world a big taiva if they did. They'd do a big taiva. They had to make a whole tumma and spend so much money to get Saddam Hussein out of that hole and to finally kill him after the trial and all that time. He would have done the whole world a taiva, but he shot himself in the head while he was in the hole. So he had to go through a whole thing. And have the newspapers, metalis, I mean, it was a chosh of a thing to be mafasim, you know, the Indian. But there are people who are in this world that shouldn't be here. It's a dimion. They have dimyonis. And there are people who the world needs so desperately. And the world will never have them. Because they only see themselves and their dimyonis as being horrible, unsuccessful people. Dimyonis. You know how hard it is for a child to outgrow the negativity of a parent? You know how hard it is? There are people who know how it is. I know, because some of you have spoken, You know how hard it is to outgrow parents who are negative with a child, for them to outgrow that? If a parent tells a kid from the beginning, you're this, you're nothing, you're worthless, you're an icefuck, I didn't want you, you only make my life miserable, you know, to outgrow that? I don't know how many people can outgrow that. Such a horrible thing. On the other hand, you also can have the other one. You can have a parent that says, no matter what the kid does, ooh, that's like tzaddik, you're perfect, you're wonderful. And any teacher that says something, anybody that says something, it's like that teacher's a rush, we're moving to a different school, different neighborhood. The teacher said that my kid's not good, we're moving to a different school. I mean, it's dinyanis. And that's also very hard to outgrow. Very dangerous. Dinyanis. The parents have dinyanis with the kids, though. And the kid, the natural inclination of a person is to accept the painting and the photograph of his parents. Because the kid looks up to his parents and believes them. Even though the parent, this parent could be crazy. But the kids believe their parents. And you know, when you say a lie many times, you believe it. Because they all know that the big lie is much more chasher than little lies. The big lie, if you say it often enough, There are millions of people in the world right now, millions of people who think that Jews plotted to bring down the World Trade Center. You know that. Do you remember when it was first said? When we first heard that there were some Arabs that were saying that, you know, there were Jews, that a lot of Jews, they didn't come that day, right? Remember? To 9/11? There are many Jews that, so I remember thinking, but the Shia, this is the craziest thing in the world. But there were Zionists that plotted. The Americans and the Zionists plotted to bring down the World Trade Center. So we said, it's a joke. Nobody's going to take that seriously. No one's going to even... No one would pay attention to such a craziness. Studies show that the vast majority of the Arab world, that's another portion. That's already 100%. And there are many, many people who are not Muslims who also believe that. They don't talk about it all openly, and if you would say, hello, my name is Weinberger, my name is Cohen and Katz, they wouldn't say it. But they believe it. Somehow, the Jews are behind it. The big lie, catches on, if it's said often enough. So when your whole life is a dimyon, when your life is a big lie that your parents painted of who you are, and you heard it over and over and over again, and oftentimes in school too. Or a brother or sister, then that's the double portion, that's who I am. Our demyanis that we grew up with. The chesoinis and the mailis. The yesh u'malaseinu nedaros afhein betumunazu. So sad. That so many times we don't know our mailos. Our whole way of evaluating ourselves is not true. The person next to me is either 1,000 times greater than I am, or is 1,000 times worse than me. But either way, it's not me. Tzadik Yisrael Olam walks into the room it's just him. Doesn't come in with any partners. It's just me. This is who I am. It's me. That's the tzaddik. It's me. That's why when you're with a tzaddik, you feel such a hisiris when you're with a tzaddik. It's one person. Ki adimyon eino ma'arech oisa. One's imagination doesn't allow him to properly value the good in himself. Because you imagine yourself to be not good. You imagine yourself to be not good. You get a kid in the class that he has to be like the big clown. He's got to make everybody, you know, he's got to make a tumult in class and get thrown out and make a whole thing, you know. Children don't know how to dress their things up in a sophisticated way. I mean, you have adults that do that too. They think they have to make a crack or make this and make that and always be like everybody should live. It's Rachmanis. Where does that come from? Because the dimyon that he has is that unless he does that, he's not worth anything. So he has a dimyon that the only way that I could be worth something is if I make people laugh and say something. Then this is that people don't think he's... They think less of him, Nebuch, for saying that. For making those cracks or those jokes, and to be the clown of the... to be the life of the party, and to be the loudest person, and so on. Everybody knows where that comes from. It's not a secret where that comes from. What do you have to do there? What's that person carrying on? It's Achmanis. Well, Dimyanis. Dimyanis, because he thinks that he's worthless. He thinks that he's nobody. You'll get Nebuch, you'll get a person, you'll get a girl that any time, any boy that goes, should Nebuch get involved in Aveiros, because she thinks she has no worth. She has no worth. She imagines she's really a gewaldig person, but she sees herself as worthless. So if I'm worthless, so I do bad things. And the boys are... These things are kaseid. The Nemakir son, he doesn't recognize his milas. Oh, just finished the paragraph. She'ein bonu klal, my fias bim kaiman. Not only that, I don't see my real milas. So I think I have other milas. Let's go to this girl. The girl that's Nebuch doing bad things. She thinks that she's... So she thinks that her best mila is the way she looks, or her figure, or something like that. And Mimela, that's the only mila that she thinks of herself, so she gets taken advantage of. She doesn't know that her real mila is, she doesn't know. Her real mila is that she's sensitive, she's a kind-hearted person, she doesn't know. She'll never know those are her real milas. Because she never thought she has those milas. She imagined herself to be horrible and cruel because someone told her that, whatever she got it from. So what are her only milas? It's imagination. Her only milas are those milas that are physical. And those are what she thinks her milas are. Oh no. This altar image that comes into the room with you, he's not quiet. The truth is that he's the main character in our lives. We just accompany him. He's the star. He's the main character, because we're mostly demyonis. Once in a while, I get to speak up. Once in a while, the real me, maybe. But the main attraction, the main person who I am, is the one that I present to the world, my demyon. Hatmona demyonis azois, he amader medaberes mitach gron. You speak the words of the demyon. This shade is speaking through you. He has a memes, mizimaisiv, it makes the plans, he amakavenis, maisiv, udvarb, it makes up the plans, what are we doing on vacation, where are we going, how am I going to spend the rest of my life, what am I going to do when I retire, who's saying all those things, the real panemius of who you are, or the dimyon is saying it, the dimyon is saying it. The dimyon is what's dragging us around and telling us and taking us and doing everything. If you want to really know who you are, Yosim Leiv, let's tell them, pay attention to the shadow that follows you everywhere in life. The Yisamites, Lirois, it's Atzma Lefima Shahu, and do whatever you can, we're going to learn much more, whatever you can to see Be'emes, Be'emes, who you are with your Milas and with your Chesroinis. The Milas are to fix the Chesroinis. Your Baruch Shalom gave you that you could fix all your Chesroinis with your Milas. But the Be'emes to see who you are. The, next month is Shabbos. We're going to finish this with from the beginning of the Gersa Musa of Yisrael Salantim. We're going to go a little bit more into the Pnimius. We'll see a Maimon from Rabbi Yochum, and we'll be able hopefully to come back into that one person that Hashem has brought into the world.